from University College London. I'm a member of the Chinese Generation Panel, and I'm co-chair of the Latin Generation Panel.
Hello, my name is Michel Suignard. I'm a member of the Integration Panel.
I'm Barry Lieba. I'm currently the Applications Area Director in the IETF and participated in the IDNA specs.
Ed Bentrung from DotAsia and currently the co-chair from the GNSO for this working group.
Magnusha Vierginy, member of the Integration Panel.
Francisco Arias, ICANN staff.
Sarmad Hussain with the IDN program, ICANN staff.
Abdeslam Nasri from Algeria, a member of the Arabic Generation Panel.
It's okay if you're just visiting, we would like to know too.
There. My name is Via Pesquet. I'm from France, but I'm representing a country, company in South Korea. Thank you.
Thank you. And those who are connecting online?
I am Mark Stoffer from IS, and I participate in this working group as a co-chair.
I see. So Dennis, apologies. Dennis and Cal, apologies. You won't be the audio, but I will try my best to look at the chat. Samad, if you would help me, alert me if there's a chat. So this is Edmund here, and I guess for the recording, when you speak, please just state who you are.
So Cal Fahar just put in his introduction. He's from New Star and at Melbourne, Australia.
Okay. Yeah. Welcome, Cal. Dennis as well. Dennis from VeriSign, also in the working group. So I guess, first of all, I apologize for my absence in the last meeting from the working group, but this meeting, we're hoping that we would introduce some of the work that we have done in the last little while and have a little bit of input from the community here. If we conclude that and we still have time, we'll plan a little bit ahead on what next steps to take. So on the screen, you can see that a very brief document that outlines a bit of the background and who we are. And then there are six topics, actually, we've identified from the working group that we would spend a little bit more time on in moving forward. So if whoever's controlling it can scroll. Okay. Samad, if you can help scroll down to at least reveal the six. Oh, perfect. It fits perfectly in the screen. In the earlier session, if you were here, it's apologies that it's a little bit repetitive, but we've identified six areas: transition terminology, format of the IDN tables, consistency of IDN tables, IDN variants, similarity and confusability of labels, and registration data, essentially that contains IDNs or related information. These six areas are where what we think the next IDN implementation guidelines should include. Some of them have been included in previous versions, maybe not the same envisioned detailed, maybe, and some of them have moved. Some of the implementation practices and experience has evolved. These are the six areas. I will spend a little bit of time explaining each of them so that we can get a little bit of feedback from those who are just joining us or just from the community. So the first one is really about transition and terminology. The IDNA standards were updated between 2003 and 2008. There are implementations out there. I understand that there that is still not completely transitioned over. So there are some lingering transition issues. That continues to be an area that we think is important to point out. And related to that a little bit is also to continue to emphasize the importance of keeping up and also being compliant with IDN standards and RFCs. So that's number one, part of number one, actually. The other part of number one is terminology. The terminology, including what we call IDN variants, well, including what is now called LGR, label generation rule sets. It used to be more about IDN tables or IDN policies. The terminology has evolved a little bit as well, and there are multiple terminology. One somewhat ambitious attempt would be to try to bring some order to that and maybe suggest a way to use certain terminologies when we talk about IDNs in the context of registries and registrars at ICANN. So that's number one, first area that we hope to spend some time around. I guess if... Mats, do you think, I'm trying to ask my co-chair here, do you think we should stop every 6 point and ask for input, or it's better to all do all six? Mats, do you have a...
I think that it's better to go through each bullet.
Okay. So that was number one. Any thoughts or questions? People think it's... Oh, Samad, please.
Yeah, and I think what we would also like to emphasize is that we actually have a wiki page, and what we've done is started listing much of this new terminology which we are discovering on that wiki page. So there's actually an ongoing list which we are currently developing. So we actually encourage you to come and visit the wiki page, look at the list of terminology which is currently there. Please feel free to contribute further to it. And as we mature this list, we will also start adding definitions. So please come to the wiki page and you can actually contribute directly there as well.
Thank you, Samad. Any questions about the first topic area? Mats, anything you wanted to add?
Well, I have been working with PDT for the last 2 years, or actually more than 2 years, with the IDN implementations. And we can see that it's really necessary to straighten out the terminology, to have a common language between registries and other stakeholders of IDN.
Thank you, Mats. And yes, that is a very important piece of work, I think, but it is also somewhat ambitious. There has been attempts in the past, and this continues to evolve. But at least I agree that we should put a stake in the ground and try to come to some agreement, in terms of terminology and what we really mean when we say them, because this is also going to have some implications on because this is somewhat this is part of the contract actually with new GTLDs, so this has contractual implications as well. So this terminology and how we really define it hopefully will be helpful, and if we don't do it well, it'll be disastrous in some ways. But that shouldn't happen. But that's the topic area. Seeing no other questions on that. I see a number of people just come in. Summarize, we have identified six areas from the working group. We've identified six areas that we want to have in the IDN implementation guidelines. We're going through it one by one to try to get some early input from the community. We were just going through number one. Number one was about some lingering transition issues, emphasis on staying with the RFCs and the standards, and also an attempt to bring some order to the terminology we use at IDN and try to. I keep trying to use the word standardized, but I feel that that might be too strong, but at least bring some consensus around the terminology we use. That's number one. Okay, so I will move to number two. Number two area that we identified was the IDN tables, or the format of the IDN tables themselves. This has evolved quite a bit from the last version of the IDN implementation guidelines. As a background for people, in the very, very beginning, the first IDN implementation guidelines, that actually the publishing of the guidelines actually in essence created the IANA IDN database, IDN table database. This is talking about moving from that more fluid format to a more standardized format that recently has been discussed at IETF, and also I think it's in working group last call, and it's on its way to become an RFC. And in order to reflect that, this should be included in the IDN implementation guidelines in the next version. That's the thinking behind it, and this is basically number two. Any addition?
So, Mark, is it possible to just give an overview of where the process is as far as the guide, this format is concerned, ITF at ITF. Yeah.
Where we are and what's the okay. Anticipated?
Marc Blanchet, I can respond since I'm the co-chair of the Lager working group. So yesterday we did a working group last call about a month ago. We got some comments that were integrated into the document. There were no people against the document. So we yesterday I pushed a button for the ISG to review for. So it's called a request for publication. It will go through IETF last call. It might be short before the ITF meeting, which is about in 3 weeks, so it may happen after. And then if everything goes fine, the ISG could approve it. I don't know, maybe May time frame.
I can answer that because I know the schedule. I'm the one Mark sent it to.
Yeah.
This is Barry Lieba.
Actually, it's now your problem.
It is now my problem. And so I have to review it, and I don't expect that to be an issue. And I'll issue the last call. The next telechat that it could be on is April 21st. And so the IESG could approve it on April 21st, and that's likely to be when it gets approved. And I don't expect to see any problems with it. So then it goes into the RFC editor queue and takes some number of weeks before they get to it, and that's it.
Thank you, and it's great to have all these people in the room. So definitely you will be faster than this working group. This working group will probably take a little bit more than April to come up with our reports. But anyway, so this is the situation for the format of the IDN tables and the background. Any questions? Seeing none. Oh, Asama.
Just a comment. So just to inform everybody here that while this machine readable format for IDN tables becomes RFC, gets converted into an RFC, we are also doing an implementation of this, and that implementation is also available through ICANN website. You can go to lgrtool.icann.org, and it does require a sign. It does require authentication, and you know I'm happy to provide that to you if you want to use it or test it. So it actually provides you a platform to create LGRs in this format using through a user-friendly interface, and then use those tables to actually validate data as well.
Thank you, Samad. So it's LGR tool, TOL.ICANN.org. If you go there, you will see an authentication I just did, and I couldn't get in. And then, so we need to ask Samad for a login and password for the.
Yeah, you can. Sorry to interrupt, but you can email to idnprogram@icann.org to get that authentication information.
Thank you, Samad. And Mats, do you want to add anything before we close on number two and move forward?
Yes, I think this is an important important thing to make all the registries to change from the old format to the LGR. But at the same time, we have to realize that the LGR format is quite complex. And the old format, at least on the surface, is very simple. So this migration will probably take a long time. And I don't know how we will be able to convince the all the registries to do this migration.
Thanks, Matt. Edmund here. That brings me to kind of a question. If I'm not mistaken, the when we were going through the engineering for the LGR, the Lager Group at IETF, the previous tables were somewhat used as a starting point to make sure that the end product would be able to at least describe those tables. I don't think backwards compatibility was sought as a requirement, but at least there was some discussion and did look at that. I wonder if Mark can enlighten us.
Yeah, Maglashe. So the current specification do much more than the current tables. And we know that we can convert all the current tables automatically to the new format. So in that sense, there's nothing to do for the registries. And I'm not IANA, but I understand that IANA intend to essentially convert everything to the new format. But I'm not IANA, so.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, I'm sorry, but it will not be possible to do such an automatic conversion because the registries have interpreted the format in a little bit different ways. And secondly, the contextual rules are not included in the tables, and those have to be coded into the LGR. So it's not that simple.
Thank you, Mats. I note this is slightly out of scope of the IDN implementation working group, but I think it's of interest. So I do see that Francisco wanted to add to this. Can you shed some light on?
This is Francisco from ICANN staff, not IANA. But the other thing to consider is that some of the tables have had contextual rules and other IDN policy in comments, which will be, of course, not possible to convert.
Edmund here again. But the contextual rules can be described in the Lager format. There are some comments that may not be completely... Right.
Yeah, so, but if the contextual rules today are written in plain language, then you cannot convert that into LGR in any simple way. Then you have to code it in.
That's correct. But again, this is a little bit outside of scope of this working group. It is of interest to this working group, though. I'm not sure, Mats, whether you want to take this further or how you want this working group to keep an eye on that development or not.
No, this is more a comment that we shouldn't think that the LGRs just simply will be implemented by the registries. It'll take time.
Okay, noted. So I guess that brings us to the end of number two, unless there's other comments or questions. Seeing none, I will move to number three, third topic item, somewhat related to number two, which is the consistency of the IDN tables across different registries, and you know even identifying across levels, so top level, second level, and might I venture to say the third level as well. But this is the area that we want to explore, how much we can talk about in the IDN implementation guidelines. I'll use LGR now going forward, that's label generation rules. Across LGRs, across registries, and reference IDN tables that ICANN is working on. I think Samad mentioned briefly when we talk about number two. Number three is really focusing a little bit more effort, more attention on how much should we recommend or not really prescribe, but at least speak to the desired level of consistency or not desired level of consistency across TLDs and across levels for IDN tables. That's number three. Anyone wants to add? Mats, did you want to add to that?
Well, I think that from a user perspective, it would be very helpful if all implementations of, say, Japanese are the same, so that you expect to be able to register the same labels under all TLDs that support Japanese tables. Today we see that different registries have different strategies. Some registries remove all code points that require contextual rules because they don't want to have that. And others include such code points so that we see differences in, for example, Japanese tables between different registers.
Thank you, Mats. I have a queue here with Michel and Chris. Michel?
Yes, it's Michel Suignard. Just want to mention that we, you know, there is a project to do second level LGRs at this point on, you know, among those, for example, 29 language based, there's in fact Japan. Japan is one of the, you know, the LGR we were working on. And I also want to mention that when we did the conversion from some of the tables that had conversion in plain text, so we'll see we did the conversion from plain text to actual XML, LGR rules to, for example, for Hebrew and Arabic, which has some of those, or even for some other, I can't remember now, but there was some, you know, IDN tables that we found contextual rules on UBC, we converted them. So there will be examples that could be provided by ICANN as reference point. I'm not saying that everyone has to follow them, but at least it would be a good inspiration a reference model to for anyone that wants to use those languages in whatever level they want to use them.
Thank you, Michelle. Chris? And I'll put myself in the queue as well.
Thank you, Edmund. This is Chris Dillon for the record. This is something I've often mentioned during our calls. And just repeating, it's highly undesirable that there would be differences among registries, and so the poor users having to remember, which registry am I using at the moment. So it actually affects my typing. A thought that I'd never actually had, and is quite a frightening thought, I don't know whether anybody would want to comment on this, is that there could be differences between, say, the second and the third level. I was presuming that the likelihood is that there will be differences between the first level and the second, but it might be that the first level ends up being very conservative, and then the second and other levels, perhaps, I don't know whether I should use the word liberal, but they have things that you can do which you can't do at the top level. And so, those might be things like, oh, you can use the hyphen, or you can use Arabic numbers, or even you can use the Roman alphabet, or other systematic or logical things. This was my sort of earlier thinking about this, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought that actually this may be quite naive, and that if you actually look at the differences between the second and the top level, it may be very, very difficult to describe those, even if you have one set of differences between top and second, and no differences between registries, and no differences between, say, GTLDs and CTLDs, or any of these other possibilities. But the more I think about it, the more you look at the differences and you think, it may not be possible to do this logically, and if it isn't, you're then saying, well, okay, how do we do this in a way which is as user-friendly as we can possibly make it? And I ended up thinking, perhaps you could have a situation where you start off with your top-level rules in one file, and then you add a file which then adds the second, third level altogether. So I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there. I mean, perhaps it's a total non-starter, but...
Thank you, Chris. Edmund here. I will add to it and then move on. And Matt, stop me if you think I'm going too much into details. But responding to what you said, and also building on what Chris mentioned, my view is that there are going to be cases where legitimately they should be handled differently. And Japanese is a very good example that you put out. In a CCTLD context, because, say, for example, .jp, then you have a context that you kind of, if you see an IDN and you see it looks like Japanese .jp, you would... you would have a reasonable expectation as a user that is Japanese. But even if you see two kanji characters, for example, two Han characters or three or a string of Han characters .jp, you would imagine, given the context, that would be Japanese. In the GTLD situation, you may lose that context. A situation for let's say .asia or even .com, if you have a string of characters that are all Han characters .asia, A-S-I-A, then you don't know whether you are dealing with a Chinese string or a Japanese string. At the registration situation, when a registrant registers it, they may pick Japanese or they may pick Chinese. And the resulting variance and the resulting handling and the user experience for that particular string would become different. So in my view, when you look at a GTLD situation, if you care about the user experience on a GTLD kind of scope, and also given that the user doesn't have a contextual indicator to go by, you may have to have different policies, language policies, for a GTLD versus a CCTLD. And also, if you look at a GTLD situation, if you have a TLD that is in Japanese, let's say in katakana, then the second level, at least that gives you a little bit more indicator of what that whole domain may be. So that registry may decide that they want to follow the .jp rules as a CCTLD, you know, kind of CCTLD rule. But a more generic term that either in ASCII or other form, you may want to, you know, just open, treat it like a GTLD mode, and also, you know, when the situation comes where it's a whole string of kanji, then you may want to include variants to avoid the, you know, to, in terms of the philosophy for going about this idea and treat it that way. So that's how I think, you know, it may be desirable to actually have different types of implementation. And I think, I don't know whether you will be addressing it, but Arabic may have that kind of situation as well. Mats, I'm guessing you would probably want to respond, but I'll go to and then Samad.
Yeah. Yes, hello, my name is Ra'ad Al-Faiz. I am from SaudiNIC, from Saudi Arabia. Actually, this point is a very important point from the user's perspective. The problem is that the end user or the registrant doesn't know variants well. It's something new to him. So he doesn't know the differences between, for example, Arabic Kaf and Urdu Kaf, or Arabic Ya and Persian Ya. For him, this is something new. It was new for me when I entered this area maybe 12 years ago, and I'm operating a registry. So I believe we should have something baseline for all registries. And if a registry wants to do something in a different way, they should say or state what is the difference. So, like, we have some baseline for all registries. If I'm, for example, that Saudi want to do more secure or having less variant, we can add to it. So it will be simple for the user to know. Because the problem is that I know many of my friends try to register a domain name under the Saudi and under other Arabic TLDs, new GTLDs, and it wasn't the same experience. For us, you can enable, for example, 6 variant. For others, only 4. For the rest, some of them, there are no variant. And this is a problem, actually. Some of the registries are advanced. For example, they considered the variants that are needed for you in order to reach it all over the world. Others, no, just only Arabic, and that's it. If you go try the domain name in countries like Pakistan or Afghanistan or Iran, you'll not be able to reach the domain name. And this is a problem. So that's why, again, back to this point, there should be, first of all, the user is naive. He doesn't know the complexity of variants and what he should enable or what he shouldn't enable. We need to have a baseline between all registries, and then each registry state clearly in the variant section, we follow the standard plus or minus these things to keep it simple to the user. The user, he doesn't know how to open a language table or to see the difference between language tables, or we run a script to show him the diff. No, in simple words, for the registrant. And I hope this will be, you know, somehow addressed in a way to make the life for the end user easy. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good comments. Just a note in terms of the scope, this is not the working group that create those variants. It's just we talk about certain policies and rules that is kind of like a little bit a level above. But that's very important. Samad, you wanted to...
Yes, I just want to read a comment posted by Dennis Tano. He says, regarding consistency of IDN tables... while it is desirable that end users have consistent experience, this comes down to business decisions of registries and registrars relative to how they want to serve their customers in its markets. competition should take care of this problem, that is, consistency is equal to follow the best practice. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. I guess, Matt, did you want to respond to all that?
Well, I think that, Dennis said it quite well, that at least that we don't have the power to enforce anything, even if we would like to do it. So I don't think we can avoid inconsistencies between different registries. But on the other hand, we have the chance to together with other parts of ICANN, to point to some kind of standard. And I think that many registries will use the standard tables if they're available, because they don't want to invent their own tables if they don't have to.
That's probably a very correct observation. With that, any further comments? Please.
I want just, so this is Abdeslam from Arabic Generic Panel, Generation Panel. I want just to underline the word consistency. So have you an idea to put behind this word? A kind of process, a kind of how to do this, especially when we talk about the whole scripts, all the 29 scripts, for instance, and maybe I think within a language or a script like Arabic script, this may be the community work and task work, task force work, but when we go beyond or even for a long run, when Unicode is evolving, how to keep this consistency? I mean, just give 1, 2, 3, wow, how is the consistency measure or assessment or calculation process? Thanks.
Thank you. I kind of am jumping ahead, but Edmund here again. But when we actually deliberate on this particular issue, perhaps it may be useful to think about whether some guidelines, if we know that there will be some inconsistencies, and the so-called inconsistency may be good or bad, depending on how you see the entire lay of the land. But how do we obtain, you know, if there's a more standardized way, like, you know, in relation to the LGR, some more standardized way for people to obtain those language tables automatically, that might be something that would be useful. But I don't know whether it's in scope or out of scope for this group to talk about. To summarize what I was just saying, we may be able to say something, or we should consider whether we should say something like registries should keep their LGR here or somewhere on their website or something, some standardized area which would allow them to then other people to get that easily. And I see a hand up, Francisco.
Thank you, Edmund. In regards to what you said, will the requirement to publish the tables in the IANA repository serve that purpose?
That's a good question. Currently, the guidelines do not dictate that you have to put it. So, Samad, you want to?
I think the current version of the guidelines recommends that you publish the tables, and for the GTLDs, which is what Sarmad was trying to say, the contract requires them to publish.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. But you can also refer to others. You don't have to have your own. So, but that would still work if we require that. That's a good point. Maybe that's already some of the right area to put it. But then we go into the issue of whether that whole database is going to be updated with LGR, which goes back to what Matt's have mentioned earlier. But then, anyway, so this is, apologies, this is going a little bit more detail into when we actually talk about the issues. So, oh, please.
If you allow me to clarify my previous point. So I think, for example, for the Arabic, we have the Arabic task force working for the LGR for the second level. What I recommend, or at least this document should address that, say, a recommendation for GTLDs or TLDs in general, if you want to change something different for the Arabic script, at least different than what the task force has finalized, please state it in a simple word for the end user. So don't expect him to run it or see, check the differences. This is just a recommendation. If you agree on it, that's it.
Again, I think specifically on those top, that might be a little bit more on the implementation side. I mean, the reference LGR, and you say there, if there are some variants, sorry for using that word, a different set of variants, a different set of code points, then you should make it simple and justify it. I'm actually curious whether this is inside the scope of this working group to consider, or is this part of the reference LGR discussion? I'm thinking through this. Mats, do you have any thoughts or other on actually providing some recommendation specifically targeted in a way to the reference LGRs and any alternative LGRs from that?
This is Mats, for the record. Since we don't have any resources to create any reference tables within the group, there will not be reference tables covering the entire need. I don't think that we can point at reference tables and say that you're recommended or you should use such tables. But the only thing that we can talk about is the need of having consistency between TLDs.
Thank you, Mats. Edmund here. I can imagine us saying something like, if you propose a table that is not the reference table, here are some things that you should consider. Like, you know, if you propose something other than the reference tables, you should at least state whether, you know, that you understood the reference tables and the rationale for moving beyond that. The question is whether it is in scope or out of scope for this working group to include in the IDN implementation guidelines, I think. I don't think we need
to... Not here again. I think that we could recommend such a writing if there are reference tables, or when there are reference tables. But there will not be reference tables for matching all languages and scripts that are used by the GTLDs.
Samad?
This is Samad. So, at this time, the reference tables being considered are for 29 languages only. So obviously, if there is a reference, there is a pointer to those reference tables or two reference tables, it will be limited to those 29 languages. And if there is work being done beyond those 29 languages or at script level, then I think that's the case. What Matt's also suggesting to that, then the working group also needs to resolve those cases and make some suggestions on how those cases may actually also be addressed in this context.
Thank you, Samad. And, Michelle?
Yeah, to add a bit to the, you know, like the Japanese case, because that was an interesting case. In fact, the current reference table, for example, is purely for Japanese, so it has no variant, because you would not think of adding variants for Japan. But you could, in fact, perfectly imagine another reference table that would be basically done in the purpose to be used within the context of, Han, if you want, not knowing that it's Kanji or not. And then that would mean that instead of just being the same table, instead of just containing, you know, the pure Japanese, you know, Kanji, you would also have the variant table declared on it. The same way you would do the coordination in the root when you integrate Japan, the Japanese LGR with the Chinese LGR. So you could do the same thing on the reference table, even for a second level. It's just a different piece of work. You just basically have to do the, you know, the integration, if you want, so in at the second level with a Chinese table, and then you get the variant set for Japan as well. You could do that. But I don't see an infinity of versions there. You can basically make a version that is not considering coordination or integration, if you want, on the version that is basically it's sort of isolated. So you have basically two versions. One that is standing alone, which is used basically by like your first example, where you know you're in Japanese context. That one don't have to deal with variants. And the other one that made use in a context where you don't know what, if it is Kanji or Hangzi or Hanja or whatever. So on that one, yeah, you may have to address variants. But it's basically a binary thing. It's the one. It's not like a multiplicity of version, just like two. And it's a bit the same for Arabic, I think. You could have a situation where you do basically integrated version, or you do basically a standalone version.
Thank you, Michel. I think that's a pretty good point. I mean, whether you have context or no content, that may be two ways to do it. It might not be a multiplicity of things. That's I think, a good point. With that, I think I'll draw a line on this item and go to number four. Number four is about IDN variants. In fact, from the very beginning, I think even for the first IDN implementation guidelines, there was talk about IDN variants, but definitely not as well-formed as we are now. In the last few years, a lot of work has been done on the IDN variants to formalize it and also make it more standardized in many ways. So this is an area, a topic area that the working group will spend some time to not only talk about the nomenclature, the kind of terminology again, but the types of states of variants, whether it's allocated, activated, blocked, reserved, and also what types of relevant policies, owned by the same registrant, activation policies, automatically activated later, or no activation, and some other types of recommendations specifically on variants. Given the broad, the depth of experience we now have in the subject, so that's number four. Any questions, Samad?
Just to add to that, the column at the right actually states the current IDNG WG, the working group position. For this particular point, the working group the current thinking of the working group is that the guidance is going to be provided at a reasonably higher level compared to the other three points which have been discussed so far.
Thank you, Samad, for the clarification. Mats, do you want to add anything? Please, go ahead.
One question is, if a variant is a must, if you have a Chinese table or a Han table, is it a must to have variants? And are there other contexts too where variants are common, but is it a must?
Matt, apologies, I didn't quite get you. You mean, this is a question the working group should ask, or you're asking the question whether there, if you're dealing with Chinese registration, is it must to have a variant?
This is. I'm putting out the question. So what is the view of the working group and the participants in this meeting, is it okay to have a Chinese table without any variants?
Edmund here. I see shaking heads, but I'm trying to figure out for the IDN implementation guidelines. We probably should not be prescribing something along those lines, but rather, within our scope would be we can point to the reference LGRs, we can point to other community efforts, and probably recommend that whoever implements IDNs reference them or at least understand and look point to them. But I'm not sure that this is where we should, talk about that subject. And also this is specific on a particular language. I saw some shaking heads. I wonder if anyone wants to jump in.
Michelle again. The only thing I know is that every IDN tables I've seen for Chinese that are recent all have variants. So you, at least from a usage point of view, you would consider that probably every Chinese IDN tables would have variants because of the traditional simplified issue. It's not impossible to create one without, but it's not common. It's not common practice. As far as you want to go, recommendation of or not, that's open to you, obviously. But practice seems at least to be saying that Chinese use variants because of traditional simplified. Because that, not ignoring that would be making a major mistake, in my opinion, of anyone trying to use such a table. While, obviously, for Japan is a completely different issue. Japan, by default, you probably don't want a variant because variant, in fact, in Japan is a complicated subject because there's no rules. There's no simple rules to say that, among the 1,000 permutation possibly you could have if you push a Chinese model on Japan, you don't know which one now is a preferred version or whatever, what version that a given customer would take among the 1,000 permutation. Where in fact, for obviously China Chinese context, it's much easier to determine that either you want the traditional view of the whole label or you want a simplified view of the whole label. So it's a complicated subject, and I think we should just follow practice on that opinion in that situation.
Thank you, Michelle. Mats, I see your hand up.
Yes, there are actually a number of GTLDs with a Chinese table without any variants. And there are GTLDs with Han table, Han script table, without any variants. So it's actually out there already.
That's Edmund here again. That's a good point. I go back to what this group is, chartered to do is probably not weigh in on any specific language or specific table, but rather perhaps our recommendation needs to be at a point where if you consider developing or if you when you are implementing, actually implementing is better, when you're implementing it for your TLD, these are the things that you should look at, and part of it, rather than specify what language should do what, is to go to the community efforts, understand them, or go to the reference tables. That to me still seems to be the kind of the level that the IDN implementation guidelines should be at, rather than at specific languages and tables. Does that make sense? But perhaps others, any suggestion? Michelle?
Yeah, I would say that the reason why a lot of IDN tables don't have, probably for Chinese, don't have variant tables is because they have no clue how to do them. It's a complicated complicated subject. And to do it right takes a lot of work and energy to get it right. So if you do it wrong, it's worse than not having anything. So to some degree is also a question of getting them right. And it's still a work in progress, frankly, to get the variant for Chinese done right. Because it depends on the repertoire. It depends, you know, even if you're willing to integrate with another part of the, you know, CJK universe. It's a very complex subject, so I'm not surprised that people are afraid of touching it, because, you know, we're still kind of working on it at this point.
Thank you. Mats, you have your hand up again.
Yes, I think that the reason why TLDs or registries have chosen not to have any variants is the same as some of them have chosen not to have any contextual rules, is that it's simpler to implement. It's cheaper to implement, and they don't think that the user community cares, or their customers cares.
Thank you, Matt. That may be a correct observation, and I guess that ties a little bit into what Dennis mentioned earlier, and you know, his point was to leave it to the market. I support the free market, but I think there needs to be some policies around it to safeguard users as well. I hate to be the one saying that, you know, maybe we know better, but I think going, you know, at least as we look at the IDN implementation, it's probably better to be more conservative to start with and then becoming more liberal over time. So what I struggle, Matt's, I'm going to probably move to the next couple of topics, but what I'm struggling to get a sense is perhaps you can explain a little bit more clearly what this working group, what kind of action item this working group can take on the particular subject you mentioned, because I don't see us going so detailed into specific languages again, you know, and tables. So I have Michelle's hand up, and then I'm hoping to get a sense from Matt, and then we'll probably draw a line on this topic and move forward.
Sorry to be taking time here, but a lot of reason why those contextual around is in fact so security. They in fact, for example, when you start to have some punctuation or punctuation-like characters in the second level, especially because in the root you can't have them, but in second level you can have some of them. Or, you know, sometimes you have digits, or, you know, in a mix of Arabic. So you have those contexts, and they are there, in fact, to protect the you know, the whoever is using those labels. So it's not just for, you know, for the fun of it. Many of those context rules are meant, in fact, to improve the quality of the labels on the experience of anyone using domain names. So you ignoring them is, in fact, at your own risk in terms of security of the whole IT system. So.
Thank you. Yeah. I was going to go to Matt's for the last word, but I'll let Francisco. You're gonna okay. So I'll go to Matt's for last word on the item, and then we'll move to the next item. Did you want to add, Matt?
Yes. But this is Matt for the record. First, a comment on the contextual rules. The way that the registers have chosen that is to remove the code points that require contextual rules. And going to the variance problem, well, one possibility is that this guidelines actually state that the variance is a should or recommendation for certain scripts, tables, and language tables. Another possibility is to have more general wording about it. So I don't know which way we should go, but I think it's important to have this discussion and to raise this issue, because it looks very different in different corners of the world.
Thank you, Matt. Now I think I understand much better where you're coming from. And I think, yes, that should be part of it. We should look at the previous versions of the IDN guidelines and see what we have there. I'm pretty sure that we deliberated that in the IDN working group in the GNSO, specifically on that topic to, you know, to not mandate variants, but for certain cases, make it sure that it's very important to have. So we should probably take a look at those, and then. But I see that Sama wanted to add, or Francisco, you finally decided that you still wanted to say something about this.
Okay. Sama convinced me. I just wanted to point out that excuse me, there is a document from ESAC. Excuse me. SAC 60 that contains recommendations regarding the consistency of tables between first and second level and across the TLDs that this working group may want to consider.
Thank you. Noted, and that will definitely be referenced and also studied, I guess, a little bit in the working group. So with that, let me draw a line on number four. And we have about 10 minutes to go, 5 and 6. I'll probably do 5 and 6. They can't be done together, so I'll separately. Okay, number 5, similarity and confusability of labels. So what we were thinking about here is, again, from the very beginning, the IDN implementation guidelines, this was an issue. In fact, this was an issue that kind of created the IDN implementation guidelines. Homoglyphs and attacks, perhaps, utilizing homoglyphs, glyphs and homograms. So the working group intends to look a little bit further into it, whether we need a more comprehensive recommendation of this. Currently, the idea is to have it at a more guidance at a higher level, pointing to some of the work that has already been done, especially from Unicode and other areas. But this remains an important part of the IDN implementation guidelines. That's number 5. Mats, did you want to add anything?
Well, I think it's important to really discuss. I mean, should there be a strong recommendation or should or a must to have mechanisms to block homoglyphs between different scripts. So say that a TLD that supports both Latin and the Cyrillic, is it okay not to have any mechanisms? Or is it a must? Or is it a should? What level should we be on? I think this is important to discuss.
Thank you, Matt. Samad?
I would also like to add that there are actually community-driven efforts currently being undertaken for LGR, for the root zone, where these communities are considering cross-script variants, which could fall into this kind of confusability discussion. So in case one wants to make a more detailed recommendation, one possibility is also to refer to that kind of work, which will actually go formally into LGR for the root zone as well.
Thank you, Samad. That is useful information. And as we consider our timeline for producing the end result for this working group, how it matches with the other timelines may be something we want to take a look at. Not that we should let other areas dictate our speed, but it would be useful to get a sense when those other work will be ready for this group to take a look at. I guess that's the number 5. I'm not seeing any further discussion. Oh, Samar, please.
Just to come back to that point, I think if there is a generic guideline, not specifically to a case, something to the effect that any cross-script work which gets into the root zone should be considered for this context. I'm not sure how strong a wording one would need to make, but if there is a community work which ratifies that there is homoglyphic confusability and that is verified through the integration process and goes into the root zone, that is sufficient enough, I guess, motivation to consider it for the second level as well.
Thank you, Salman. Good points there. With that, seeing no other hands, I'll move to the last item. Last item is about registration data. With the introduction of IDNs and also the developments about registration data, which is the contact information and probably including emails as well, that information also being internationalized, the working group is started the discussion on this. We've identified it right now. We're not entirely sure that this should be within the scope of this working group to I guess, weigh in terms of recommendation yet. But this is an area that would be related and is something that we will consider providing some recommendations on. Please.
Have you reached something or still it's an open issue? Or have you have consensus, or have you discussed it in details, or nothing?
Samad, why don't you add first?
Right. So in the working group, I think the working group was still not decided on whether to include this in the topics they want to consider or not. There has been discussion, but there has not been a decision like on the last 5 points. And if the community thinks, if you think this is something the working group should consider, I think that would be good feedback to have.
Yes, so it's still an open item. So if you feel strongly that this working group should take it on and provide some recommendations, please speak up.
I think there is another group for the who is working on something. Am I right? So
do I get it that we should not consider this at this moment, and especially given the work that is being done elsewhere?
Yes, that's well.
Okay, that's useful. Francisco,
just very quickly on that. I'm not sure if they are. I take you're referring to the RDS PDP. Working group? I think you're referring to the RDS, Registration Directory Services PDP. I wonder if it would be a good idea to check with them if they are indeed considering that issue. I'm not sure.
Thank you. So what I guess I'm going to try to summarize a little bit, and Mats, please add or correct me. It seems to me that the what you're saying is that we shouldn't overlap the work and also shouldn't preempt any work that is currently ongoing. And I think Francisco's point is well taken. We should probably go in and get a sense of whether what we might consider here would overlap with discussions over at the RDS. If there isn't, then we have reason to believe that the IDN part of it, maybe there's already something with it, because a number of working groups on the WHOIS side has already completed their work, especially in the internationalization part. So maybe there are certain areas. But if those interact so much with the existing current work, then we should stop and let the RDS complete its work first. And I think that's it. Did I kind of summarize that properly? Mats, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, from my point of view, if we should have any opinion about what is shown in WHOIS or equivalent, is maybe if it should be recommended that the IDN label is shown as a U label in WHOIS or not. further than that, I don't think that this working group could go.
Mats, please finish first.
Yes, that's the only, I mean, having a meeting if how internationalization should be done in who is in other fields, I don't think that belongs to the IDN group. Maybe the shown of the U label or not.
Thank you, Mats. I think there was a different expert working group that did look into the matter. I'm looking to Francisco to see if we can add to that.
Yes, indeed, there is a working group, not a policy development working group. It's an expert working group, as you call it, derived from the WHO is review team. It's the International Registration Data working group. They finalized their work a few months ago. And I believe they have recommendations on this regard. However, they are not policy, so there are still some things that need to be decided in order to find the appropriate way to implement those.
Thank you, Francisco. It may be useful, as this group consider our work on this particular topic, to not only reference the work from the expert working group, but also get a sense from your team to see if further work is being done and whether we could actually reference the expert working group product or is better not to touch on it yet. Back to the point made earlier, if there's still policy work that is following up on that, then maybe we shouldn't touch it yet. If not, or if that's stable enough, then maybe we should include it or parts of it in our recommendation. Please.
Yeah, I think the issue raised by colleague before, it's very important to have the representation of the domain name as a U-label, not A-label. And I add to that also to list the variants that are enabled. It's very important thing for maybe hosting companies so that they look up for the domain name and then they add these things. So it's useful information to automate some kind of hosting.
Thank you. And I encourage you to take a look at the expert working group product because it does touch on a little bit on that area as well. You, Sama, there's because I lost connection, sorry.
Okay, so there's a comment by Dennis Tan regarding registration data. It's not in scope for this working group. We shouldn't segregate registration data processing for a subgroup of domain names.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis, for that. However, looking at... Oh, so there is a last comment from Chris, please.
I mean, I came into the room actually thinking the same and thinking that this isn't relevant, but I can't remember the detail of that report. I know that the report was saying it's important to display U labels. What I cannot remember reading is whether they had the idea that there could be quite a few of these U labels in the case of variants. I have no recollection of reading that, and if I didn't read it, if it isn't in the report, then extra work may be needed there if we really want to see the variant labels listed, because that may just be news to them. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't remember it.
Thank you, Chris. I guess we'll take that as homework and, you know, in our next meeting, especially when we go back to this particular topic, we'll take a look at that report and take that as input as well. But with that, we're at the end of this session. Please,
I have one.
Keep it short.
One question. I'm not sure if it is part of this group. But what about the XML standard format for variants and IDNs? Shall we have a recommendation regarding this standard format, or it's something technical in another group? Shall we be working on it or?
Thank you for the question. That's exactly number two. You probably missed that when you came in. We probably after number two. Number two is
the EPP extensions.
EPP extension?
Yes, sorry. Yeah.
Ah, good question. The EPP extensions are, I think I don't have a quick answer, and we're at the end, but that is a very good question. We will definitely take it, take that into the working group and consider that part as well, the EPP extensions, also for variants. And yeah, thank you. With that, I guess this brings us to a close. Thank you for all the inputs. I'll see if Matt wants to have a last sentence, just 10 seconds before we close.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Thank you. And we thank you for the feedback. We will continue to work on this. And as we go along, this is not a formal report yet. Our aim is to create a formal report with some formal feedback over public comment period as such. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.